We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Game 5 of the Ranger Canadian Series in the NHL will be on MSG tomorrow night, 7 p.m. with a full pre- and post-game coverage as well. Follow the Rangers on the network that follows the team all year, MSG Network. Joining us right now, former outstanding Ranger, and that, of course, is Dave Maloney. Dave, how are you? Joe and Evan?
Yeah, it must be springtime again. I got a chance to check you.
That's right.
Chat with you
when
last.
The real season starts, Dave. Because that's really the eternal 82-game NHL season, which is, you know, far too many. There's far too, just like the NBA, there's far too many regular season NHL games. Let's be honest. It should be about a 60-game season, not 82.
Well, I guess you say that, but I'm not sure that, as you mentioned the NBA, I'm not sure that's the only sport that could probably do with a kind of shrunk schedule, if you will. But it is what it is, and it's, you know, it's a contest to qualify for springtime play, and you eliminate 14 teams, and the 16 that are left have played well enough over that kind of excruciatingly long season to play now, and sets up to be some pretty dynamic hockey. It's been good stuff.
Oh, it's been incredible hockey. It's funny, for the Rangers, they basically did have a 60-game season because for the last month and a half,
right,
we knew
they were treading water.
We knew where
much.
They were going.
Now, yep.
Your thoughts on the goaltender, because coming into the postseason, he had a very uneven season. He had some injuries. It wasn't a great hallmark year for Henrik Lundqvist, but man, oh, man, over the first four games of this series, it's the old playoff Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah, it certainly has been. And I mean, hey, listen, you know, when the career advances and there are going to be moments later on in anybody's career where the performance, the standard of performance, particularly he, has been set so high that if there are blips along the way, then it becomes, is it over? And I don't think there was ever a belief from Ranger locker room, Ranger coaching staff, their management, that ever thought it was over for Henrik Lundqvist. And he has certainly proven to be, once again, the most important player. And when you look at his career, I'm not sure there's been a more important guy in a franchise in the last 12 years than what Henrik has been to this Ranger franchise. Mm. You know, Crosby comes in 05-06, and he's certainly been a performer there, but boy, oh boy, it rue the day when it finally ends for Henrik Lundqvist. He's been that important to this franchise, and he's been spectacular in four games.
Well, let's hope he's holding the Stanley Cup before it's all over for Henrik Lundqvist. Now, let's hope, because that's going to be one thing that we're going to, you know, look back and say, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the one. You know, because right now, Dave, when I look at Lundqvist, and there's no question the greatness of Lundqvist is, you know, the jersey's going to the rafters. There's no question about that when all is said and done. But he's got a lot of parallels to Patrick Ewing. I mean, I know you're a hockey guy, not really a basketball guy, but as great as Patrick was, you know, he never delivered the Holy Grail. You know, so that's the one thing about Henrik. You know, he's got to get that ring.
Well, I won't pass a comment on Patrick Ewing because I'm not a basketball guy.
Right.
But he's been their best player for 12 years. The problem is he can't score. And I don't care. At the end of the day, it's a medium sport talk point observation that's going to inflame a lot of argument or discussion either way. Simply put, he will never, ever be the reason why they didn't win, ever. Now, whether it validates his career or not, That is subject to debate, but I can't be emphatic enough to say he will never be the reason they don't win the cup.
No, absolutely.
Fair enough.
He's the reason they have a shot at winning the cup every single year.
That's true.
That's really what it comes down to.
That is true.
What did you think? Alain Vigneault made some changes, including Tanner Glass, you know, with a healthy scratch.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts on those decisions?
Well, originally I raised a bit of an eyebrow because Glass has been an important part of what's happened here down the stretch. And for Buchnevich to be effective, he has to still, he's a very young NHL player whose professional experience has been garnered on a larger ice surface, a little different game, where he has more time to allow the game to evolve according to his skill set. And he really does have an impressive set of skills. But at this time of the year, the ice gets smaller, and you have to be able to compete in those areas of the ice. There is not a lot of space. That being said, I thought Buchnevich was pretty good last night. It's interesting, you move bodies around. If he can play, your lineup is more skilled. It is more skilled with Buchnevich in the lineup. Grabner then becomes a fourth line player with Lindbergh and whoever, if it's Fast or whoever's in that line. Your lineup is a lot better balanced. It's just whether Buchnevich can play that small ice game over an extended period of time, which is the Stanley Cup playoffs. It seemed to work last night, though.
Talking Rangers, of course, with the series now tied 2-2, game 5 coming up Thursday night in Montreal. You'll see it on MSG starting at 7 o'clock. Dave, why does this team, they're 0-for-12 on a power play. Last night they get a power play, and Rick Nash immediately eliminates the power play by running over the goalie. I mean, I don't want to blame him for that. I mean, it's a tough thing. You're trying to get to the net. But, I mean, why does this team, because sometimes I watch the power play, it's like, well, what are we doing, the ice capades here? They can't even get into the zone on the power play. I mean, what's the problem with that?
Well, I think they're – listen, I think the power play is not a cut and dry science. I look at, although they scored 4 last night in San Jose, there are teams that struggle on the power play, and you look at their personnel and you go, how in the world does that team not score every time in the power play? So specific to the Rangers, they do have difficulty coming up ice. And if you can't get possession into the offensive zone, I don't care if you're 5-on-5 or 5-on-4, it's going to be a bit of a daunting task. I'm not sure there's a pure power play quarterback in this group. Ryan McDonough takes the bulk of the ice time in that position, and there is some question whether he's an all-world defender, all-world participant. He's their captain. But the little missing ingredient between he and Carlson and he and Weber and he and Doughty and he and, you can go down the list, Letang is that little ingredient. Can he make a play being a quarterback in the power play? It's not a criticism. It is a bit of a reality. And that is a bit of a missing link when it comes to the Rangers' power play. And they also do get a little bit guilty. This group went from, they learned very quickly last year that speed and skill and execution are an important part of where this game is at, when they took it 5 on the chin, 5 and out Pittsburgh. And they do get guilty of being a little overcute, where sometimes simply put pucks to the net. And listen, I have absolutely zero issue with Rick Nash's penalty that he took.
No, he was being aggressive. Night. No, I understand.
He's going hard to the net. Yep. So sometimes the power play lacks for a guy really taking charge to make that offensive play, and they get a little too cute.
We're talking to Dave Maloney. This lunch hour is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees. This has been and become a very physical series. I don't know if it's dirty, but it's certainly been quite feisty. Your thoughts on the way it's been handled by the officials?
Well, first and foremost, I have no problem with the frontier justice that happens on the ice. This is the time of the year where you do what you have to do, and you take what you have to take, you give what you have to give, and every guy that suits up enters knowing that that's the case. So while Montreal can be accused of being dirty, it is up to the officials certainly to keep a closer eye on players. I thought the chop on Brandon Smith by Radulov was a fairly egregious that didn't get called.
They didn't call a lot last night. They really didn't.
Not was a lot called. But, you know, it's funny. I talked to Brady Shea, the newer generation, younger guy, who's had a tremendous series, by the way, after a great season. He took a bit of a late hit from Andrew Shaw in game one. And I remember talking to him after, and he said, that's okay. I know he's coming, and he'll get his, sort of thing. So, it you know, if the officials are going to do what they do to try and arbitrate. See, I think a lot of times I'm not sure that the officials pay attention to the right guys enough on the ice. Because if there's something going to happen a little malicious, it's probably going to be Andrew Shaw. It's probably going to be Steve Ott. And you could throw Tanner Glass in the mix, which I have no problem with. I'm not criticizing. I have no problem with what these guys are doing. I think it's becoming upon the officials maybe to keep a little closer eye on the guys who are going to cause some trouble. That being said, an awful lot of the passion that we see at this time of the year as a game is the street war or the trench warfare that happens. And perhaps I'm speaking as an old school guy. I don't have a problem with it.
You know, I can't stand that guy Gallagher. You know, I can't stand this guy. You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Sean Avery. Sean Avery, and obviously we loved Sean Avery as a Ranger because he would instigate. I love, especially when they were playing the Devils and he'd, you know, stick it to Brodeur all the time. You love that.
Yeah.
But this guy Gallagher, he's on the other team, so you can't stand him. You know, he's one of those kind of guys. But you talk about a feisty guy. I mean, he's always in the crease there. He's always around Lundqvist, and he's always aggravating you. You know, Dave?
Oh, there's no question. Every story, every drama needs a black-hatted guy, right? and he's the guy. And when I'm asked about Sidney Crosby, I often say myself, personally, I hate him as a Penguin. I love him when he plays for Team Canada. So I think and that doesn't eliminate the sense, the emotion we have. He is the enemy. But boy, oh boy, you'd love to have him. I'm telling you right now.
No, that's what I said. He reminds me of Sean Avery, same kind of player. You know, that kind of guy.
Right.
We saw such a huge difference between the Ranger effort and performance in Game 3 as compared to Game 4. What the heck do you expect now? We're back tied at 2. The Rangers came 17 seconds away from being up 2-0, coming back to the Garden. We know how well they've played on the road. What do you expect in the final potential 3 games?
Well, you know what? I don't know that my expectations aren't hope. I hope. I have every faith that they will play closer to games 1, 2, and 4 in game 5 than they certainly did in game 3. And that was the disappointing thing about game 3. Listen, you're going to get beat, and that's somebody wins, somebody loses. But if you hand your opponent the game, and it was really the first period of game 3 that was telling. They were outshot 10-6. They won 5 of 17 faceoffs. They had 10 giveaways to one giveaway for Montreal. Listen, if you're going to lose, don't gift wrap it, you know, because essentially the two games that were played, 1 and 2, it was a hellaciously competed, passionate two games of hockey. And then to come back and have the first period, you go, holy cow, where did that come from? So I knew they were going to be better in game 4. They were a better team than they showed in game 3. And now you move on to game 5 I'll put on my tribal glasses with the hope that they come out with the passion that's been evident clearly for 3 of the 4 games.
Dave, before I let you go, why is this team, and they ended this hideous 6-game playoff losing streak at the Garden last night, they weren't great at the Garden, they had an 8-game losing streak during the season. Why has this team had trouble at home this year?
You know what, guys? As much as I love talking to you, if I had that answer, you might be the last two guys I'd tell, because I'd march right into the locker room and say, here it is, I've got the answer. I don't know. I think as time goes on, a lot of those stories, I tend to think, you know, when referencing the history, it's the franchise history. It's not team history, because the team has different components. There's different emotion. There's a different makeup of the team. Now, the franchise hadn't won in 6 playoff games. This year's particular addition of the franchise has struggled at home. Other than, I think the starts are always important. I don't think it's any surprise last night. They won the first two faceoffs and got the first two shots on goal, and that set the pace for the game. The building then got involved, and it became what a lot of us remember Madison Square Garden being, a passionately played game with a passionate crowd following.
That's definitely what it was. Dave, great talking to you. We appreciate it.
And hopefully we're talking to you next week for round two, Dave.
Thanks for calling, guys. It's always a pleasure.
Be well. Dave Maloney.
Yeah, thanks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.